So glad you guys are here for 3 of 3 for the last time, hopefully, for a while. Just want to let you guys know and remind you that starting next Sunday, you should have seen some videos online and got an email this week. Next Sunday, we're moving back to our two-service format. So this service will be at 11 o'clock next week, and then we'll have a 9:30 as well. Children's ministry during both of those services moving forward. But we should be sending out a one call, and you'll probably get another email this week. We'll try to remind everybody. But without fail, somebody will show up at 10:30 next week. So just mark it in your calendars to be here at 11 or 9:30, one of the two, and that'll be great. Today we're continuing our series called Finding and Following, where we're looking in the Gospel of John, and we're kind of seeing the things that Jesus did in that Gospel, and some of the places that we sort of see him work and start to do some things. And then we're just trying to follow him, kind of navigate with him through this gospel to see where he is leading us and what kinds of things he wants us to see. Now, before we start with today's text, I want to sort of ask us all a question, a reflective question. And that is, what do you want from Jesus? And a lot of people maybe say, well, what do you mean by that? If you reflect on your prayer life, or you reflect on what do you ask Jesus for? Do you ask him, you know, help me get this job, or help me, you know, bless this person, or I need you to give me this, or I need you to take this away from my life, I need you to help this, you know, in my child's life or with people around me? What are the things that we ask Jesus for consistently? And if we reflect on maybe the last week or month of what are the things that we're asking for, then we kind of know what we want from Jesus. You know, we sang the song, Thy Will Be Done. Those four words, and it's really a great song. I find that there's two times in our lives that we pray those words. The first time, Thy Will Be Done, is when we don't want to make a decision and we want God to do it for us. God, I don't really know what to do, so why don't you just do what you want to do? It's very rare for us to say, hey, I am here and I'm ready and I want you to use me in my life. I want your will to be full in my life. That's not a prayer that we have near as much as the other ones, or asking God for something. Now, when we look at the Gospel of John, and when we sort of trace what Jesus is doing, we see these first and second miracles that happen in the Gospel of John. They're a little different than they are in the other Gospels. You remember the first one is John chapter 2. Jesus is in a place called Cana, which is in Galilee. He's at a wedding, and his family and his disciples are a part of that wedding. And then what happens is they run out of wine, and Jesus' mother pulls him aside and says, Jesus, this is what I want from you. I want you to help these people. And Jesus has the first miracle that John tells us is turning water into wine. And then we have the story in chapter 3 of Nicodemus. And then last week we did the story of the Samaritan woman. But then in the last part of chapter 4, there's this another little story that kind of emerges that tells us about what Jesus is doing. We find it in John chapter 4, beginning in verse 46. It says, once more, Jesus visited Cana in Galilee, where he turned the water into wine. So John is reminding us, hey, Jesus has gone out a little bit into Judea, but now he's come back to Cana. And you remember Cana, because that's what we see in chapter 2. And now he's back in Cana of Galilee, and that's where he did his first miracle. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. I mean, what parent wouldn't do this, right? Jesus says, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe. But the royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus said, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. And while he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time that his son got better, they said to him, yesterday at about 1 PM, the fever left him. And the father realized that was the exact time that Jesus had told him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. So John is telling us in this story that Jesus is back where he started, and it seems like word of mouth has spread because this man has a sick son And it doesn't seem like this man is a Jew. He's probably a Roman official. He's probably somebody of high standing. But he maybe has had a contact or a family member that went to this wedding and saw Jesus. And after he's looked for help from all the doctors, you know, he finally says, Jesus is my last resort. And he goes to Jesus. And Jesus, you know, it doesn't seem like Jesus really wants to do the miracle. I know that doesn't sound right. But Jesus just tells the man, you know, go ahead and go home and everything will be okay. The question, what do people want from Jesus? What do these people want from Jesus? They want Jesus to intervene in their lives. They want Jesus to do miraculous things. They want Jesus to do things that they cannot do. Probably the same things we want from Jesus. And then the question back maybe is, what does Jesus want from the people? What does he want them to be able to do? And the answer is quite simple. He wants them to have faith. He wants them to trust in him. He wants them to stop being distracted by everything in the world and to see what he has come to do. He wants people to believe. And it says that this man and his entire household, they become believers. They become faith people after this thing happened. But as we look at the story and the mission of Jesus, maybe the question that we ask is, what does Jesus really want to do? These first two miracles sort of happened by accident. His mom cons him into one, and then this man, he feels bad for him because his son is ill. But in John chapter 5, we see what I would argue is the first miracle that Jesus really wants to do. It says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals, probably Passover. Now there in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, was a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. And Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time. He asked him, "Do you want to be well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred, and when I'm trying to get in, somebody else goes down ahead of me." And Jesus says to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat, and he walked. Now, the story goes on for the rest of John 5, but one of the things that we see as in this story, as we've seen in others, is that the people always want miracles from Jesus. The people always want some representation of the supernatural. They always want to see Jesus not just do parlor tricks, but they want to see him prove that he is who he claims to be. Now, there's a few things that we see in the midst of this story that tell us how this miracle works. The first one is this. Jesus sees the brokenness of these people. Now, the other two miracles, the water to wine and the healing of the official son, those people have both come to Jesus. But what we see in John 5, the ministry and the mission of Jesus, is that Jesus goes to this place that is known for having people who are ill, whose lives are broken, and some of them have been there for a long time. Those people don't come to Jesus. Jesus goes to them. He seeks them out, which is different than what we see in a lot of other stories. Jesus rarely tries to go and seek out miracles. It's always people coming to him, but this is one of the times in John's gospel that Jesus goes to the place of brokenness. And he finds these people, and one of those people is this man who the Bible says he's been an invalid, meaning he's really non-functional. He can't function in society like everybody else. And this man has resigned in his life that, well, this is just my life. You ever see people that do that? Do we ever do that? Well, this is just where I'm at. We hear people say, well, this is just as good as it's ever going to be, or I just have to accept where I am. We use phrases like, well, it's just going to be what it is. This is as good as it's going to be, I suppose. And this man lives in that mindset, in that worldview, that his life is just what it is. And it's never going to be more than that. And then Jesus, number two, he goes over to this man and he says, hey, what do you want? Rarely does Jesus ask this question. Usually, it's the other people that come to Jesus and say, this is what I want from you. But Jesus goes to this man and walks up next to him and looks at him and says, what do you want? And notice the man's response. The man's response is not, hey, here's a list of what I want. What he really answers with, he says, well, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. I'm not to blame for why I am the way that I am. He doesn't actually answer the question that Jesus is asking him. Jesus says, what do you want out of life? What do you hope for? And the man immediately just blames everybody else and says, well, it's not my fault. I love what Jesus does next. He stops asking questions because obviously he's getting nowhere asking this guy questions because he doesn't actually know who he's talking to and he actually has no idea what he actually wants. And so Jesus simply turns from questions. He just starts commanding and he says to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. That's what I want you to do. I want you to just stop right now and I'm going to stop trying to figure this out and just do what I ask you to do. And for a moment, this man decides to trust Jesus. He says, okay, Jesus, I'm going to trust you. And his legs get strong, and he stands up, and he rolls up his mat, he picks up his mat, and he walks away. Now, as you read chapter 5, something else is going on in the story. The man picks up his mat, and he's healed, and he has that moment where he sees God has done an amazing thing in his life, and he walks probably half a mile down the road, and he happens to go onto the main street and walk by the temple. And when he gets to the temple, he sees a ton of people walking in. And he sees a ton of people walking out. And so what he does is he unrolls his mat near the entrance of the temple. And he takes out his little can and he puts it out there. And he lays down on his mat and he looks pathetic because that's what he's always done. And people start filling up his jar and he realizes very quickly, you can get a lot more money laying outside the temple because nobody actually wants to go to Bethesda. Nobody's trying to go there to help people, but if you're in the vicinity of the temple, people are going to fill that jar a lot quicker. I've figured out something really good. The Bible tells us that Jesus goes and he sees this man outside the temple, and he's behaving badly, and Jesus warns the man's bad behavior, and he says, listen, you need to stop doing this. I did not heal you so that you could take advantage of the system and just find a new place to go back to what you know. You see, what's happening in the story here is that this man decides to go back to his mat. You see, because he knows his mat. He's been on his mat for 38 years, the Bible tells us. This is a safe place. He knows exactly what to expect. He feels comfortable here. He doesn't have to do anything here. And now Jesus has healed him and told him to roll up his mat and to get on with his life. And he really doesn't go very far down the road before he unrolls his mat again because he knows his mat and his mat's comfortable and his mat is easy. And we would never do that, right? Once Jesus releases us from something in our lives, we never go back to it, right? The question is, what is the mat in our life? What is that thing that we know so well that may not be particularly healthy, but we know it and it's ours? And when Jesus heals us from something in our lives, sometimes it's hard to just go and put that in the closet and forget about it. It's easier to go back to it. And maybe the biggest lesson in the midst of this, as we project our own stories over the story of John 5, is that Jesus sees our brokenness too. Jesus knows our brokenness. And we're laying on whatever mat that is and whatever area of our lives that we still have some strongholds. And Jesus walks over to us just like he did to this man. And he says, Sheldon, what do you want? Well, I want to be free of whatever my mat is. And sometimes Jesus says, okay, get up. Walk away from it. One of the things that we learn in this story is that Jesus gives us a choice to walk with him or to lay in brokenness. Jesus never forces the man to get up. He gives them the choice. He gives them the opportunity. He says, I'll do it for you, but you're going to have to stand on your own legs and you're going to have to roll up your own mat and you're going to have to take your brokenness with you and move it away from this place. But Jesus does give this man and ultimately gives us as people of faith. He gives us a choice. You can walk with me or you can lay in your brokenness. What I've found, and I'm sure you've discovered this as well, is that often finding Jesus means following with difficulty. It is hard to have faith. It's easy to ask Jesus to do everything for you, but when he calls us and tells us to walk away and to walk in a new direction and to live out that story of faith, that's usually very hard. That's why we know it's faith. And in this process of life, of finding and following Jesus, it usually is in places that we really don't want to go. And he's usually going to ask us to give up things that we are comfortable with, that we've done our whole lives. And he says, I want you to leave that behind, and I want you to walk somewhere else. I don't want you to abuse this newfound healing that I've given you to go back to a bad life. I want you to walk somewhere new, and it's going to be hard and difficult and unknown. And this is the lesson that the disciples throughout the entire gospel seem to miss, because they're good at maths. They're bad at walking with Jesus. Aren't you glad that we're not bad at that? Man, we've got maths, don't we? We lay them all out in our lives, physically, spiritually, emotionally. We have all the reasons why those maths are not our fault. We ask Jesus for freedom and for faith and for redemption. And then he walks into our brokenness. He says, what do you want? We say we want all those things, but I don't know that we always do. And after Jesus has interacted with us a few times, he just says, you know what? Just take my hand, get up, and walk into a new life, and roll these things up, and follow me. And the journey of faith is usually to a difficult place. But that's where we meet Jesus. That's where we find who we really are. We don't know the rest of the story of this man. We don't know if he finally hung up his mat, or if he just went back to that life, if he chose that life. But there's a word of hope in the midst of that for us, that God will meet us where we are and give us an opportunity to move away from it. And will walk with us if we're willing to leave our mats behind. Maybe these are some of the things that we need to think about, reflect on in this journey. Father, thank you today for meeting us in this place, for leading us in worship as we've sang songs about deliverance, as we've sang songs that say your will needs to be done in our lives, God. May they not just be empty words, but may we hear your voice today asking us what it is that we want. Father, I pray that you'd reveal to us whatever mats we have in our lives, whatever the strongholds are, the things that we don't want to get rid of, the things that we struggle to let go of. Just reveal those to us today. And help us to hear your voice in the midst of our brokenness. If you tell us to get up, to leave a bad past, to walk into redemptive freedom with you. As we struggle to have faith, God, would you continue to meet us, take us by the hand, and lead us to freedom. And it's all because of Jesus. He gave his life, he paid the ultimate price so that we might be free. It's in his name that we pray. The church begins.